Shall we turn to our portion, Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So now, out of 9 Beatitudes, we have covered already 7. And when we began in verse 3, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 10, again, the reward is the same thing. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven. So it is a developing character in a person who has accepted the Lord and the Spirit made him to realize that the person need to walk in spirit and recognizing the need that the person needs to ask the Lord that he may be or she may be equipped to lead her or his life in spirit. And as he continues to work out these all characteristics, so it is the second last one, it talks about the righteousness again. This righteousness sake, it is morning also we have seen when our Lord comes and establishes his kingdom, the king's rule is based upon the righteousness. His scepter is called the scepter of righteousness. That means everything will be in a right wiseness or according to the order of the Lord, the heavens. In the same chapter when we go down in verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if anybody has to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and that is, there is a standard of doing the standard of the heavens, or what is right in the sight of God need to be practiced or done, lived in this life here while we are. And when we are in verse 6 also, we have seen in this Matthew 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it is one of the important characteristics would be found in kingdom of heaven. The Lord rules, and the people who are going to be in glory with him also have the same character. And they would be found doing those things organically and habitually in their life once they understood what is right in their sight of God. So Lord expects that our righteousness should exceed the righteousness of Pharisees and the scribes. These Pharisees and the scribes, they are the religious leaders. Outwardly they appear they are doing right things, but inwardly their character and the nature is not the same as it would should be. But in the New Testament, the Lord expects that our nature should conform to the nature of the Lord, to the heavenly nature or the divine nature, and whatever is needed for that one that the Lord provides in our life, in spiritual life, if anybody is hunger and thirsty after that. But here it is there in verse 6, it is if anybody has hunger and thirst for the righteousness sake. But here, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness sake. So you may have a hunger and thirst, then you are doing and practicing in your life. But the next level of that life is if you are being persecuted for the right stand in your life when you wanted to apply and live by that. So the people, when those who are around you and they don't like what you are doing because they are convicted of your right behavior in their hearts. Their conscience are pricked. They were made to feel guilty. they know that what you are doing is right, but they don't want to practice that one, then the best way for them is to oppose you. And opposition also, when it reaches to certain level, that is fine, but they wanted to persecute you so that they are not feeling guilty about what they do, what they are not doing. So that is how the man covers his faults by persecuting the righteous people. But the Lord says that when we wanted to hunger and thirsty righteous for the righteous works, that is a blessing and they will be filled. But when he wants to take us to the further level, that even at all persecutions or the troubles because of the right life, there is a greater blessings, he adds, that he would be also in kingdom of heaven when the Lord manifests in glory and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. So actually, where the kingdom of heaven, or in the millennial kingdom, the Lord rules by the scepter of the righteousness, and these are the people who are going to be the ruling along with him in glory, and these people are trained, being trained now, and they will be continually learning to do what is right in the sight of God. And that time, when they are counted worthy to enter, and it will not be something new and what the Lord is expected them to do there. Because while they are here and they have been habitually doing the things of the Lord in a right manner, though they live in this world in the mortal body, but yet they learn to, and by God's grace, they have received the strength to do that and they lived that life and God blessed them. But it is all the time, it is not easy. But when you take the trouble of living that kind of life, then there is a great blessing. So whatever the situation, and correspondingly where you are standing with the Lord, for the Lord, then the blessing also the Lord would measure in the same manner. And book of 1 Peter chapter 3, start reading from verse 10 onwards. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So now in verse 10 and 11, and what a righteous person is supposed to do and not supposed to do is mentioned. And if a person is doing that one, and for that sake, if he is being persecuted, the eyes of the Lord is upon him and the ears of the Lord is also unto his prayers. Verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So that means when the Lord sees you, the Lord will hear your prayer. And while you are being persecuted for the righteousness sake, that the Lord will protect you. Verse 14. But if you be suffered for righteousness sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither you be troubled. 15. But sanctify the Lord, or consecrate the Lord, or anoint the Lord in your hearts. And you be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if they ask you why you are doing only right thing, which is contrary to all of us, then you can give the answer in meekness and fear, meekness and fear, that is your gentle behavior towards them and God, that you are entertaining the hope or living towards that hope, where if I do these things, then I will be part of the coming kingdom and glory. So the Lord will hear your prayers, and the Lord will fix his eyes upon you, and the Lord will guide you through. And also, when you are living for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of righteousness, and the Lord will also consider that is a very valuable thing. Because you are manifesting the nature of God where the evil is prevailing. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. So I'll read a few verses prior to that also. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So in Paul, whatever the situations he underwent from chapter 13 to 20 in Acts, and the later on he was put in prison, and subsequently, though it was not recorded in the scripture, he was martyred. So in all those persecutions, so that he considers them as a light affliction, and glory is measured in weight. You say it is much more than the, compared to the affliction. So the blessing when you are being persecuted to do the right thing, what is considered right in the sight of God, there is a blessing and a hope enjoyed while going through the trouble. So when we who are called, claim to be believers, when our behavior in the society is the same as the other unbelievers, and we don't obviously show forth the nature and the character, what is right to the world and what the Lord has taught us, then we lose that privilege of being entering into the kingdom. So it is a imperative for all of us that practicing by the power of the Lord to live such kind of a life, and organically and habitually. So we should not neglect that. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So in the time of trouble, if we deny him, then he will also deny. We may not openly or through our mouth may not deny him, but our behavior is not conforming, is strikingly different than the world, then in another sense, it is silently we are not acknowledging him. And he said in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also, or in the margin it is written, if we endure, and endure persecution, not suffer. Suffer is not a correct word there. The if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Somebody can read in their amplified versions, so it might be expounded well. In verse 12.
If we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny him.
If we endure, endurance is coming into adverse situations, or when you are going through the persecution. So for the righteousness sake, and when you are afflicted or persecuted, if you endure that one, then you will also reign with him, or enter into the kingdom of heaven. But whenever for a right cause, we are just withdrawing from doing so and making the manifestation of God's life working in us because of the trouble, because of the suffering, persecution, then we are, in other words, denying the Lord. So we need to, so the blessing, he says, if you endure, then you will also reign with him. But if you don't endure, then that privilege is lost. Then we go back to verse 10. Verse 11. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you or reproach you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. So it is taking you another level here. And he said, all shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. In verse 10, it was to practice and to live a righteous life, you are being persecuted or putting into affliction. So that is something that you wanted to build up the nature and the character of Lord in your life. So for that one, you are showing forth an endurance in times of adversity and in persecution. So when you are manifesting that nature, that what the Lord is wanted to bring a character of the divine nature in you, that is shown forth, manifested in you because you have shown forth endurance. But in verse 11, I'm reading it carefully, that is the difference between these two. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you or reproach you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely or lying for my sake. That means you are building up, you are manifesting even in adverse circumstances, show the endurance to do the right thing. And there is a great change of the inward nature because of that. That is, you understood, you wanted to bring it into experience, and even if it is being persecuted, that you are able to withstand that by showing forth endurance. But in verse 11, here, it is for my sake. That means, for the Lord wants to use you, and he wants to take you to the different situations where people wanted to reproach you. It is nothing of your action. It is everything is coming from outside. And also they will say, accuse you falsely. They spread lies about you. And they, for no reason, they wanted to defame you, bring shame on your life by putting or spreading different things. And that is all for my sake. That is what the Lord is saying. So the greatest honor of all in all these things, once we start very baby steps, Lord, recognizing that, Lord, lead us to, teach us to how to live our life through the power of the Spirit. Then slowly all these characters are being built in us. Then finally, a man is reaching to a position or a place where the Lord will test him whether he will suffer for my name or no. Here, nothing to do with that person. And everything is for the glory of the Lord. In verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the persecution for the sake of the Lord is not granted to all of us. And those prophets in the Old Testament, some are also recorded in the New Testament, and they were persecuted for the sake of the Lord. And their reward, it is not only the kingdom of heaven, something more than that. There is a great reward for them in heaven also. So we can see that. What is the difference between verse 10 and 11 and 12? So in verse 10, it is a person is enduring in adverse circumstances to manifest the righteous nature of the Lord, which is being worked out in his life. In 11 and 12, that person picked up by the Lord to show forth that the Lord is true and also the vessel is ready now to take the sufferings for the sake of the Lord. When Paul was called, touched by the Lord on the way to Damascus, and he told Ananias, I will show him that how much suffering he has to go through for my name's sake. In the very beginning of his calling, and the Lord was manifested that it was a great honor to him. And ever since, not only he suffered to manifest the righteous nature, and who many people have rejected him, not accepted, but he always suffered on that front, and also bore the name of the Lord. He said in Galatians 6 that I have had the marks of the cross on my body. So from henceforth, no man should suffer me. So it is, so every trouble comes from outside, and you are falsely accused, and the evil is, they wanted to spread about you the evil things. All those things, the enemy, you picks up few people and continue to spread those things. So in the Old Testament also, those prophets were treated like that. So if you take a book of Elijah, the second king, first Kings, we can see a few verses in book of first Kings chapter 18.
Can I interrupt you once?
Yes.
You said after this marks on the body in Galatians 6, henceforth there's no more marks?
No, in the sense that whatever I need to go through. So the people were asking him about the circumcision. Mm-hmm. Not him, not about his circumcision, but others. So those who wanted to outward marks, then that is a mark, circumcision is an outside mark. But he said, I carry the marks of the cross on my body. Mm-hmm. That means I am living a life as a person, Saul, as dead. Now only as a Paul I am living. The manifestation that I am living is the cross is on my body, in my life. Mm-hmm. That is the, so that means every day I am dying. So I don't need to specially go to manifest any kind of a mark on my body physically.
So that means he's beyond saying yes. About marks also.
Yeah, that means anyone who carries the death in the life, and there is no other mark required for that person.
Yeah, got it, Uncle. Thank you.
Book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And it is, we know that Elijah, the prophet who alone withstood Ahab, the wicked king, and his wife Jezebel. And they wanted to kill him. But on the contrary, when the king met him, he is accusing him, are you the enemy or the which is persecuting, troubling Israel? Actually, they are the one who was promoting idolatry because of his wife. They brought so much of Baal idols and priests, and they have corrupted the country, led them to a different direction altogether. But this man withstood everything, and they are saying, are you the enemy or the troublemaker for Israel? Then chapter 19, verse 1. And I have told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So on the Mount Carmel, then Elijah had ordered the people to kill all the priests of the Baal. Then he came back home and told his wife then what Elijah did. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do this to me. And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. So he wanted to do the right thing for the name of the Lord. He killed all the false prophets and the prophets of the Baal because of that good action, right action. And Jezebel is taking a vow that she is going to kill him by tomorrow. And in the same chapter, verse 10. And Elijah was talking to the Lord. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. It is for the sake of the Lord. Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. See, when everybody is gone and many are compromised, there are other 700 prophets, but they are in the cave. They are not coming out. They are not willing to suffer for the sake of the Lord. Otherwise, they would have come up. Obadiah was there, but he is compromised and he doesn't want to leave King Ahab. That is no good. But as far as righteously living and also willing to suffer for the sake of God, the Lord of hosts, he said, I am the only one left. And verse 17. And it shall come to pass, 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thine prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. But ultimately God has raptured without seeing death. A wonderful blessing. The reward of the heavens. And there is another prophet we can also see there was another man who was troubled in book of same book, 1 Kings chapter 21 verses 9 and 10. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, and that he may die. So there was a vineyard of Naboth, and Ahab wanted that. And Ahab have asked him, can you sell this land? He said, no, that is my forefathers. That is my inheritance. I cannot sell it to you. So the land should come one after the other, continue to generations to generation. And I don't need to sell it to you. I don't want. Then he came back home. He was not happy. Ahab, the king. His wife said, why are you sad? I wanted the vineyard, but the owner of the vineyard, Naboth, he doesn't want to sell. Oh, it is a very simple matter. Then she made two false accusers, brought him out, and proved it. Those two falsely accused him openly that he said blaspheming words against God and against king. They stoned him to death. Though he was not a prophet, but for none of his mistakes, he was falsely accused, reproached, and put to death. So if you read the church history in the past 2000 years, and many people, and they were all, many people were martyred, not for their mistakes, but they chose to be partakers of the sufferings with the Lord. So while we are, if the Lord gives opportunity, then we wanted to serve the interests of the Lord. If somebody says something, and we should all consider that as a blessing. And more so when it is not actually, you have not done, and your intentions are good. You want to do good. You love them. But if they falsely accuse you, that means they are putting you into the order of these all godly men. Not only you will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but also there is a greater reward for you there. So that is why if anybody falsely accusing us, when there is no mistake of ours, that means that is a great honor. It is not a problem. That means the Lord did consider you are worthy to take that one. That is why he allowed that in your life. But now when we see in the life of Paul, book of Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. So it is in the righteousness sake, you are enduring in adversity or in persecution, that to be known that you are working out the righteous behavior and manifesting that the Lord is living in you. But in verse 17 of Romans here, we are joint heirs. Not only we enter into the kingdom, we will jointly share the glory with the Lord if we also suffer with the Lord, or if we suffer for the sake of the Lord. So that is the difference. And enduring something in our adverse circumstances to manifest the nature of the Lord, that is different. But for the sake of the Lord, for the glory to be released, and none of yours fault, and you are being falsely accused, and you want to take that trouble so that you may be identified with the Lord and suffering with the Lord, then you will also be glorified. Not only you will enter into the kingdom of heaven, and the level of this glory may be different. So I don't know the much differentiation between those two, but we said then we will be glorified. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Or in Matthew 5:10, then we will, kingdom of heaven will be theirs. But here it is said differently, that we are going to be the joint heirs with Christ and sharing his glory. If we suffer with him, then see his desire. Book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 10. Book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him, that the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So it is not the fellowship of something else. But if I suffer with the Christ, then I also will be in glory with him. And I will be a joint heir with him. But here he is saying, so my desire is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, so that I may be living under the cross, so that the resurrection power may continue to manifest through my mortal body, manifestation of that life. So while doing so, that I may experience the fellowship of his sufferings. So the Lord's suffering, what he did suffer and that all, we cannot do it. But what he did, I was an enemy, then he loved me and died for me. And while going through that, there is a separation between the Father and him at that moment, because all the sins were laid, my sins was laid on him on the cross. And that suffering, I don't know how to dig deep into those things. But Paul was saying that I wanted to taste those things. And for the sake of the sinners, for the sake of the enemies, for the sake of the rejected people, for the sake of the alienated people, how the Lord has suffered on the cross. And while he was here, he bore all the reproach, evil, shame, rejection, but continually did what is right in the sight of the Father. Finally, he went unto the cross. So if I can taste a bit of those things, what my Lord has suffered and manifested while he was here, and that is the fellowship which I would like to have with him. So I don't know even to imagine whether that is a possibility for a man normally. Then he goes on, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. So it is not enduring for the righteousness sake. He is saying here in verse 24, who now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So there in Philippians, it is the partaker of the sufferings or the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Here, I am willing to suffer for the sake of you. And Philip, what is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake? So I want to taste the sufferings of Christ first. Then the later on, once I enjoy those things, then I will also wanted to say how my Lord has died on the cross, bearing all the reproach, shame and the rejection and the sins of the people. So that part definitely I cannot do it, but that is only possible because he is the Son of God. He could bear all those sins. But the reproach, shame and the affliction, and in all those matters, if I am a part of those things for your sake, and what is needed to be filled in the body of Christ, that is what I am looking for, he said. See, now you can be picked up by the Lord to be a tool to manifest his glory by identifying with him in his different sufferings. And also, the Lord may give you opportunity to serve for his namesake in the with the body of believers. It is not just preaching, but taking all the reproach, shame, dishonor, rejection, and whatever is needed to be filled for the sake of the believers in the body of believers. Then the blessing is, he said, there is a great reward, there is a glory for those people. So when Venus, when the sanctification is not done the way it should be done, and the sign of that one is this: when people say something to you or falsely, then you will retaliate. And if it moves further, next step, you may not retaliate, but in your heart you will feel bad. But sanctification further progresses, then you will not frustrate, you will not retaliate, you will enjoy thanking God for his name's sake. God chose you to bear the reproach and the shame, so that it may bring a benefit to other people and a glory to the Lord. So book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. So these Philippian brothers and sisters, yesterday we have seen that they were proclaiming the gospel, and he was encouraging them that at all situations be ready to proclaim the good news. So that is for the sake of the, but if in that situation you don't withdraw from your stand of declaration of the Lord, but that is given to you to suffer for his namesake, that is an honor. So when we as believers, the Lord wanted to not only build a righteous behavior in us and wanted to use you to manifest your nature, which is worked out by the heavens, that you are different because the new life, the heavenly life, the divine resurrected life is working in you, and he wants to use you later for his name's sake, even to go through the sufferings along with him to take part in glory. Not only entering into the kingdom in ruling, but also joined his along with him in glory. A beautiful order which the Lord was manifesting in this beatitude. But when we really submit our lives, so we don't have to, Lord, we don't have to tell him that, Lord, I wanted to suffer. But when the progression makes to that direction, the Lord uses us. And when in a small and little matters, when the Lord tests us, and we will also know, and the Lord will also see that this vessel is now being ready for that purpose. So it is not something new, or it is not happening only to us or to the one who is standing for that. So it is there in the Old Testament, it is also there in the New Testament. So I have only that much, but if anybody has any questions, then we can do it.
Brother, so the verse 10 is like persecution when we try to live in the way of God.
Yes.
When we try to act righteous in the sight of God. And 11 and 12 is given to only those who the Lord thinks fit.
It is most likely used in his service.
Okay.
So Elijah, Paul, and many other servants.
Yeah. So that comes after the maturity, right?
Yes. After you, when the Lord sees you, that this is the character which is already built in you.
Yeah.
To that measure, he will also would like to use you. So it is not that now he is going to send angels from heaven to minister here. That is the responsibility of all his children, those who claim to be believers, to live a life and also to minister unto him. And when we are not living properly, then how is he going to use us? A witness of bearing the reproach, evil, shame, in spite of all these things. It is not possible. When you are ready, then he will use you also. Everybody. It is not, his desire is for all of us. He said in Philippians,
yeah,
he is given to all believers. It is not only to believe on his name. It is given to you to suffer for his name. He didn't say for few people. He said for you all. So it means it is given to all of us to suffer. It is up to us when you live and God will use us. That is what he meant.
Yeah, because when we read it, we feel that, okay, I am also, like it is for us. But we have to understand it is for when we go in maturity in the Christ, then he will think it fit.
Yeah. So when we are not matured enough, something, then you will also know and a person will also know. And God also will. Then there is always a retaliation, frustration, complaining, murmuring, all those things will come. But these people has nothing. And it is filled with love. And actually they said it is a joy.
Okay.
Consider it is a joyful thing. But though that suffering and looks so difficult, but the reward is also so high and lofty compared to the other things. It is a joint here with Christ. Can we believe that one? Then we don't suffer with him, then how are we going to be considered as sharing the same glory and honor with the Lord? It is not possible. So when we simply take everything for granted, that I am a believer, Lord has saved me from all my sins, now I am a wonderful person, that will not work, that we are deceiving ourselves. A different heavenly character need to be built on everyday process, that is which is called sanctification. So verse 10 speaks towards the sanctification. Verse 11 speaks towards the service unto the Lord.